Hey everyone, welcome to the Single Player Experience Podcast, the premier podcast for single player gamers to find about good single player games to play and to hear about dope people playing single player games. As always, I'm your host, Sebastian Molden, and joining me today is a very special guest who I've been ready to get on this podcast for a very hot minute now. I met him at PAX. He's another creator from my neck of the woods in Texas, and we hit it off right off the bat, so I'm excited to have him on the show. So joining me today is a content creator. He does deep dive interviews with devs. He also talks and reviews video games. This guy knows his stuff, man. So joining me is the wonderful, the sensational, the next avatar, DDS618. Hey, man, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantabulous, man. How you doing?
I'm fine. So how was the intro? I just wanted to make sure I got it all right. Is that a good one?
I need to get a recording of that. That way, anytime my wife gets mad at me, be like, look, Sebastian said, you know, I'm all this. You can't get mad at me.
I can't put you on a pedestal that high to defend you against the misses, because God knows, like, I can't even defend myself against mine. So.
Man, I got you. Just tell me what to say. I got you.
All right, I got you. So how's everything going today?
Today is going well, man. Watching the WNBA game, the Dallas Wings were winning the last I saw. My girl Enrique was killing it.
Shout out to the Wings.
Threes, you know, just like I taught her. So,
Man, so yeah, like as of this recording, we're deep into the WNBA season is kicking off strong. That's kicking off strong. We also have the NBA playoffs that's going on right now, which is, you know, shout out to all four teams remaining. Like, man, it's been a fun time in basketball. It really has.
Yeah, it definitely has. You know, kind of weird seeing LeBron going against Father Time now.
But yeah,
it's been fun watching. Definitely watching that Miami Heat team, man. They
scrappy, boy. They scrappy for real.
I mean, you overcome losing Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo, and you're still like beating the number one team, and now you're beating the number two team. It's amazing.
It really is. And like to their credit, like they lost, like you said, they lost Hero, they lost Oladipo, but they came into this postseason being the worst 3-point shooting team in the regular season. And now they're just lighting it up on fire, and it's all behind like Jimmy Butler. Like, he's taking a team of, you know, no offense to them, but like there's some people who barely made rosters in the NBA on that team, and they are showing out, man. They're earning their contracts, and right, man, it's fun to watch. Absolutely fun to watch. So I got to ask you, on the gaming side of the fence, you know, like I told a little bit about you in the intro, but for the people who don't know you, can you introduce yourself to the audience?
I'm DDS618. I am a chaotic content creator. I call myself chaotic because I like to troll people and then I get trolled back. So it's all in fun, all in fair. I guess it's all fun and fair. That's what I'm trying to say. But I play a plethora of games. I'm not like the guy that only plays Apex, that only plays, you know, Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll play Call of Duty one day, and then the next day I'm playing City Skylines. I'm very well rounded, you know, because I tried to be, and I give so much props to everybody that only plays one game. I give y'all way more props than a lot of other people, because I tried it for I think 3 months straight. I was playing nothing but Apex, and I became so toxic and so bitter. I said, this is not me, this is not why I got into content creation, because my main purpose, whether it's through an interview, whether it's through a live stream, whether it's through a game review or whatever, I just want to make you smile at the end of the day, because it's so much crap going on outside of the world, like outside of these four walls I'm in right now. It's a lot of crap going on. And if you can come to my content and you can just kind of forget about it for an hour or two, whatever. I did my job.
Man, I like that. And I'm like you, I can't play only the same game over and over again. Like I will burn out. Like, that's who I am as a gamer. Like, for one thing, I'm not like, you know, like I'm not that type of gamer who's going to be a huge like Apex player or like, you know, like, you know, multi-game, like multiplayer kind of gamer. I'm not that guy either. But like, I need some diversity. Like, I dip into like City Skylines as well. Shout out to the second game coming out this year. I'm so excited, by the way.
Somebody else like City Skylines?
My goodness. Like, I'm starting to think it's a chocolate thing. Cause like, I talked to a couple of other like creators and they're like, man, I'll be all City Skylines. And I'll be like, man, I didn't know it, City Skylines represented the chocolate community as much as it did. Cause like,
man, I had 142 hours played on that. I just looked it up.
What? Yeah, you are on it. Yeah, you're on it too. Yeah, I love that game. I really do. And the crazy thing is, like, I like the beginning of that game almost just as much as any other game, because like, I like the start of starting that city. I liked like the nuances of like developing my road and developing the power plant for the first time and trying to see like how quickly I can build up and such like that. So I find myself like starting over a city like very frequently in that game.
Yeah, I if I get back on it today, which I was thinking about, I'm definitely starting over a city. So it's I get fun.
It's fun.
It's too much fun for whatever reason. It's a little bit too addictive, but yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So I gotta ask you, for the people who don't know, like, what other type of games do you play mostly?
I'm getting back into my RPG games. I kind of got away from it. I don't know why, but that's where you get the most reactions out of me. Like, I've been playing Star Wars Jedi Survivor lately. That game is great. A lot of fun. It's a little too much fun, by the way. like, I will be getting on Final Fantasy 16. I cannot wait for that game to drop. That comes out next month. I know for sure I'm getting on the other game. It's another game that comes out next month. I know Diablo 4 comes out.
Yeah,
I'm kind of... I've never played Diablo. I've seen people play it. I'm kind of like on the fence because I'm like, okay, I've never really played it, but I did see Diablo 3 is on sale on Xbox for like $20. So I may just buy that and play that.
Give it a test run.
Yeah. Give it a test run. I play one of my favorite genres is like city builders or where I can build things, like Two Point Hospital, Two Point Campus.
Love it.
Like those kind of games. Yeah. But when I'm streaming, it's normally either a shooter, Minecraft, or RPG game, like a story game.
Okay. Gotcha. So I'm assuming what kind of consoles are you more of a console gamer, more of a PC gamer, or a mixture of all the above?
So it's funny. I used to swear I would never be strictly a PC gamer. I was like, I'm always gonna be console. Like, no matter what, it's like, I have the Nintendo Switch, I have the Xbox Series X, and I got the PS5. I was like, I'm just strictly console. Then I built a supercomputer. I got the AMD 7900 Red Devil. I think that's what it is. I got that as my graphics processor, and that thing is so good. And then it's also the PC mods. Like, you get to mod your games and stuff. I'm starting to become more of a PC gamer. And it's weird to me. Like literally, one of my friends, we were just talking about AEW Fight Forever. And I was like, I'm probably gonna get that on PCs. I'm thinking mods, like, because I have WWE 2K on Xbox. I'm sitting here like, man, I probably want to get it on PC because of I've seen how they modded it, and they mod certain entrances and music into it. I'm like, starting to become more of a PC guy. It's weird.
It happens in life. We live, we grow, we dive into different things as we grow older. You know, like, ever since I started reviewing games and such like that, like, that was kind of my entry into PC gaming as well. That and like City Skylines, I played like the PC version. I've also played like Civilization quite a bit. Like, I love Civilization, and that's like I strictly play that on PC. But like, so yeah, I'm like one of those console gamers who like dabbles in PC every once in a while, but like, I can't claim that I'm a just native PC gamer at that point. But it's funny you mentioned AEW Fight Forever, because like, that's a game that I'm kind of looking forward to as well, even though like, it had all the momentum in the world, and it kind of went media silent for a little bit.
Yeah, way too silent. I think that's also from the CM Punk incident. So they kind of, because CM Punk was supposed to be the cover athlete for the game, and now he's not. So I think that kind of played into it, and maybe they just said, let's just focus on finishing the game. I think too many times they announce a game, they get you all hype about it, and then you start seeing the gameplay trailers, you're like, you see the actual gameplay, you're like, oh, this is not what I thought it would be. Yeah, so I think that may be why I went silent. I don't know.
And I know they had like some trouble with the ratings. I know they were trying to push for, I think they were like given an M rating in some regions, and I know they were trying to push for a T as close as possible. So I think that could be a factor that kind of played into that as well. But it's interesting though. Like, it's interesting you mentioned AEW, because like, it is like the WWE 2K games that went through their highs right now with 2K22 and then 2K23, and then their lows with 2K20 a couple of years ago, which is probably one of the worst wrestling games I've ever played in my life. But
it was so bad.
It was. But it's like, I'm curious, like, what's the hype level for you for AEW Fight Forever?
Right now it's mid. The reason being is I haven't seen enough about it. Like, I've seen screenshots, and obviously everybody compared it to 2K23 WWE game. But I'm looking at it like, okay, look, it's a brand new game. You can't look at it like WWE 2K23. Like, you wouldn't go look at WrestleQuest or WrestleStory and compare it to WWE 2K23. It's not the same game. So I'm separating that lens from it. But I'm hoping they do have like a creator wrestler, or they have where you can download like some of the things WWE 2K has that makes it so good. I'm hoping they at least let you create wrestlers. That's kind of why I want to get on PC, because if they don't, maybe somebody will mod it into that.
Yeah,
you should add wrestlers to the roster, because I wish games were more like I think it's Fire Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay, they still call it like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Like how you can have, I don't even know what the mask is, like hundreds of additional wrestlers. Obviously, if you don't know what Fire Pro is, they have pixels wrestlers, so it's a little bit easier to add those. But I think it's time we had a wrestling game where, like NBA 2K, I mean, we can have all those graphics with NBA 2K, with each player, face scan, all that kind of stuff. Why can't we have that with a wrestling game?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, and to the Fire Pro's credit, they do very well with their pixel graphic art style. They also, like you said, because it's pixel art, like the foul size for these wrestlers aren't big at all. Like, I think most of them are like maybe a couple of megabytes here and there. So I'm like, you can get an expansive roster out of that. But you know, like, 2K does give you a very good to a video game, like it does give you a good downloading spear for the created characters, and especially in 2K23. But like AEW, I think they do have the creator wrestler mode. I know they have a creator met wrestler. It looks like you have a career mode, which will feature the story mode. I'm reading right here. It also looks like you have a no GM mode. Sadly, I wish we had a GM mode, but it looks like you have that and arcade mode. So, you know, a little light on the modes there, but you know, I'm hoping for the best with that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's brand new entry, new IP, so
yeah,
I wouldn't expect the GM mode. I mean, I think what 2K20 didn't have one, or
no, like 2K21, like 2K22 was the first one that had a GM mode, probably since like I want to say like Here Comes the Pain, but maybe like 2K12. It had been like almost like a decade,
and that was horrible, but
but
at least like or maybe I'm thinking universe mode, like
yeah,
at
they
least
do have a universe mode.
It's something about, even if you, because I know a lot of people do to my gym, but having a universe mode where you get to create your shows, like on WWE 2K23 I have Raw, NXT 2.0, main event is a main show now, and then SmackDown, and then I have like 100 downloaded. I'm literally out of slots. I can't download anybody else. I have to make sure I get like my indie wrestler, like Bounty Key, Ninja Mac, and I had to get some of those indie wrestlers. The high end is in there. Mm-hmm. Then I had to get some of the AEW wrestlers and Impact. So I have a nice diverse roster, even some people from New Japan. So
oh, that's really cool.
It's fun running Universe and seeing, say, like Seth Rollins versus Okada.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's fun seeing that. So I hope AEW does add that. If they don't have it this game, I understand. Brand new IP, I get it. But then that's when I need to have that.
I understand, especially considering they're partnered with New Japan with Forbidden Door and all that kind of stuff. You know, like you can get Tanahashi and Okada and all these like OGs in there like that. So right. I want to, especially with Ring of Honor, like at least we could put Ring of Honor in there. You own Ring of Honor, you know, oh,
that's a good point. Yeah.
It's like you own Ring of Honor. You can at least put that in there as well. I know it's called AEW Fight Forever, but you know, like right. I would love to see Ring of Honor be more of a developmental system, almost like the NXT, you know, so to speak. Because, yeah. I'm not historically like super invested in Ring of Honor like a whole lot of people. So, but I would love a reason to invest in a younger roster of people, and then maybe a couple of like OG Ring of Honor vets, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. That would be good. I actually thought Ring of Honor was going to end up getting bought by WWE, but that didn't happen, which is good because I think competition is good. Like, I know a lot of people say, oh, AEW should put WWE out of business, or WWE should put AEW. I think that's stupid. Like, mm-hmm. we need that competition because AEW is forcing WWE to make changes, and WWE is forcing AEW to make changes, which that's great for us.
Oh yeah, for sure. It really is. It really is. We're feasting over here as gamers, especially as gamers and as like wrestling fans, you know, like we're getting the best of both worlds. And you know, yes. like AEW is a very different product than WWE and vice versa. Like they're very different. They have very different wrestling styles. Like there are people getting dropped on their heads in AEW, and I was just like, that wouldn't fly over there in WWE.
No.
Like you don't even see a pile driver anymore in WWE, but I'm like,
nah,
but you see one almost every week in AEW. Like, but so it's a little different. I gotta ask you though, like you are interested in AEW Fight Forever, which is like a game that's rumored to be coming out in a couple weeks as of this recording. Like, what other games are you super excited for right now? Are you into Street Fighter or anything?
That I was just thinking about Street Fighter. I was mm-hmm. like, that was the other game that comes out next month. Mm-hmm. I haven't played the beta. I need to. I've never really been too into fighting games.
Me neither.
That's not like wrestling mm-hmm. or Super Smash. Now I'll play Super Smash, but I ain't gonna say I'm gonna whoop everybody. I play Super Smash Brothers. But I'm not hugely I'm not a pro fighter. Like I think the last fighting game I played was Mortal Kombat 10.
Yeah.
Like I have, and here's the thing, I have 11. I own 11. Still haven't played it. I am very interested in Mortal Kombat 1.
That looks fun. Really it looks good. I love the cinematic trailer that we got. You know, that looked really good.
Yeah, and gory. It's mm-hmm. they really stepped up the gore, which is good. But as far as like next month or coming in upcoming months, I am interested to see Starfield, see what they do. Definitely, like I said, I'm definitely getting Final Fantasy 16. I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan, so I'm getting it. I probably can't tell right there. That's Cloud mm-hmm. sitting right there. So, I'm very interested. I was at the PAX East panel for Final Fantasy 16, which seeing that, because I was worried about Final Fantasy 16 when they first showed up. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. it's very dark, a little different from what I'm used to.
They're more medieval. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh no, man. But I think they did a great job with it. So I'm going to play it regardless and have fun. I'm going, no expectations, and just have a great time.
That sounds good. I mean, you know, I'm not the biggest Final Fantasy person. Like, I've dabbled. I played Final Fantasy 7 Part 1. I also, you know, played the OG, the pixel versions of Final Fantasy, like 1 and 2. And then I played, what was it? Not 14, but 15, where it was like the Backstreet Boys Final Fantasy, where like the four guys were We're driving around,
boys, man.
that's kind of what it felt like. It was almost like the boy band of Final Fantasy. I played that one. I played that one pretty well, and I haven't really dove into any other of the Final Fantasy games. It's sort of like a little gap in my video game resume, if you will. But I'm excited. I'm definitely check out 16, and hopefully it lives up to the hype.
Right, it better. I need it to, man.
You know, the crazy thing is, like, you know, for better or for worse, this year has been stacked, like, stacked with good games, especially on the AAA level. You look at, like, we started off this year, like, it was kind of a slower start, and then, like Xbox Shadow dropped Hi-Fi Rush. We got Hogwarts Legacy, and then we got Hogwarts Legacy, then people were into Dead Space, like, the Dead Space remake. Then people were into, what was it? Metroid. Metroid got shadow dropped. People were into the Metroid Prime remaster, and then people. And
Zelda just came out.
Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom just came out as of this recording. I think it's been out for 1 week, approximately 1 week, and people are losing their minds over Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. That brings up an interesting question. Have you been playing it?
No, I have not. I know people are going to judge me for this, and it's fine. I've owned Zelda Breath of the Wild since it came out. I have not played it.
Whoa, you never touched it?
I touched it for like maybe, I don't consider playing it because I only played it for like 2-3 hours. I don't consider that as, I played the game because it's a long, long game. So I know I need to go play it. Like I need Octopath Traveler 2 came out. I haven't played the first one yet. I just got the first one probably last month. But I need to go play the first one, man. My backlog is so bad because there was a point because I had the Xbox console. I would, if the game went on sale and it dropped below a certain amount and I was slightly interested in it, I would buy it. So I have over 1,000 Xbox games.
It's a stacked backlog.
And my friends would always be like, you buying all these games and they were playing. I'm like, yeah, well, you know. And they finally talked me out of buying all the games. Like, you wasting money if you're not going to go play all these games. I'm like, you got a point.
Yeah.
But I was just addicted to the sales and everything. But, I haven't played Tears of the Kingdom yet. I do plan on getting it, but I kind of want to beat Breath of the Wild first and then get it. So maybe sometime in the fall, which is going to suck because a lot of games coming out in the fall.
That is true. That is true. So. And, you know, like... it's interesting because like you haven't like really played Breath of the Wild, and like Breath of the Wild is more of a universally loved and acclaimed game. It's one of a lot of people. I think GQ recently had a thing where they talked to games journalists, and it was all these games journalists like voted on their favorite games of all time, and I think it was universally voted as the best game of all time by a lot of games journalists. But you know, like it's interesting. It's like I played all of Breath of the Wild, didn't fall in love with it. Like I want to look and you might relate to this a little bit more. Like you might be a voice of reason here that understands my chaotic mind, because like you are also an Avatar fan, like Avatar the Last Airbender fan, right?
Yes. Love that show.
So how would you describe the plot of Avatar the Last Airbender? Like there's a kid who like when the world needs him most, like falls into a coma, right?
Right.
He wakes up 100 years later and the world is completely different. There's almost like an evil entity that's taken over everything that he held sacred. The whole world has changed and the whole world is like facing that entity. Am I right so far?
You're right.
All right.
Well, yeah, for the most part, because it was one part of the world. I was like, oh, we're friends with them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then, like, you also have, so the main character wakes up and the world is completely changed. And then all of a sudden, like, that main character has to go to learn how to, like, he has to go and learn something from these masters in order to basically be powered up enough to like face this entity, right?
Right. I think we're going with it.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm describing right now, like for the listeners here, is Breath of the Wild storyline. It's also Avatar the Last Airbender storyline. It is, you know, like, so
Ooh, you trying to make people come for you.
That's it really is. But like, it's crazy. So it's like you take out the bending still. You take out all the bending, and like Breath of the Wild is almost Avatar: The Last Airbender. Like, it's a very similar storyline. And as a story centric person, like I want to play new stories out there. And I get like it's not quite apples to apples. They're not quite the same thing. Like Aang had like a. Aang actually had Katara and what's the boy's name? Sokka.
Yeah, Sokka. You had Sokka, me thinking too. And then Appa.
Appa, yeah. Like, but on that same note, though, like Link had to learn from all these same masters of elements and such like that, and then he got like one ability from each element. Aang does the exact same thing, where he goes to like all the four all the four corners and tries to learn how to be the best avatar, and he takes like aspects, he takes like bending techniques from all of them, and you know, like it's a very similar story is what I'm getting at. But like, that's why I kind of didn't fall in love with Breath of the Wild. And also, like, I'm not a person who, I want some a little more direction in a game, like give me more objectives. Like, it's okay, a little too much freedom for me is what I'm getting at.
Okay, so you're like a little bit more linear in a sense. You like open world, but it's hey, you need to go here.
Exactly. Like Spider-Man, like Spider-Man 2018 and Miles Morales. It's an open world game, but like you got some direction to go in, and like you have a heartfelt story, and like you have a story that's like really deeply involved with the world that you're in. Versus like, right. And I'm not trying to throw shade on Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. I'm playing Tears of the Kingdom right now, but like. Yeah, allegedly, right? It's one of those things to where I can acknowledge that I'm not falling in love with it. It might not just be the series for me, you know?
Right. I mean, and that's fair. There are some games that people love that, like for example, I love City Skylines. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are not going to like City Skylines. Oh, no. Same with Zelda, same with even Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man was wonderfully done. Mm-hmm. I played both the...
Miles Morales
and Miles Morales, right? And I love the game. There's some people like, nah, that game is trash. It's like, how can you say the game is trash? Well, because they don't like the games. I understand, and but you made me think of a very good thing here. So you're saying we need to have a game that comes out and have Avatar as the open world game. It'll get 10 out of 10.
That is true. That's basically what I'm kind of getting at. Did it, so. That is basically.
So if you're listening, Xbox, Sony, I don't know if it'll do well on Nintendo, but yeah, Nintendo and PC, make an Avatar game. Or Nickelodeon, maybe I need to talk directly to you guys. Make the Avatar game. We want it. Open world. We had one. Wasn't it good? We need an open world Avatar game. It's time.
Yeah.
It's time.
And legitimately, just copy Breath of the Wild. Yeah, you got to make it. You got it. You know, like copy Breath of the Wild's kind of like gameplay direction and keep your main story and such like that. And I think you got it made.
Yeah, that should be cool. Cause I know
same art style and everything.
From what I've seen, you can mend or combine weapons and stuff. Mm-hmm. Imagine doing that with Avatar with air bending and water and fire and earth. Oh my goodness.
Oh so man. Just take my money at this point. I love that. Just take my money, man. That'd be so dope. That'd be so dope. Well, like, this is an interesting conversation here. What are other IPs that you're into? Would you love to see be an open world video game?
That's a good question. Because most of the games I play are open world, so I'm trying to think back to the past. I mean, Spyro was kind of open world, but more linear. Mm-hmm. Super Mario came out with open world. Yeah, I'm really thinking.
Bleach? Are you an anime person?
I'm
you light into
yes
it.
Yes and no. Yeah. I love anime, but I don't watch it enough. Okay, so I don't gotcha. Like to like I'm still haven't seen all of My Hero Academia. I've never seen all of Dragon Ball Z. I've seen most of it. But like I watched the last Dragon Ball movies. It's just I'm so behind on TV shows. Mm-hmm. Like I literally just caught up on Abbott Elementary, like watched it for the first time.
And it's so good.
Yeah, so like I'm behind, so I don't want to say, yeah, I'm a super duper anime person. They'd be like, all right, so what you know about this person? I don't know about them. So So like I gotta catch up on My Hero Academia, and there's another one.
Demon Slayer, I'm guessing.
See, I've never watched Demon Slayer.
I think you might like that one.
Yes. So I mean, some anime open world games would be cool. Like I think My Hero Academia is an open world game.
That might be pretty dope. Yeah. Now, I don't know how you do it, but that might be pretty dope. Another one that I think might be like really cool to do is an open world. And this isn't like an anime. This is like, I think there should be more open world comic book games. Like, think about it like this. Like, okay, so PlayStation's got Spider-Man. They got the Spider-Man like series on lock right now. Like, they're doing it really big with that. Like, PlayStation's got that, and then you know, like Batman used to be like for every single console with the Arkham games. Yeah. Imagine if Xbox, you know, because I want Xbox to do well. I miss the days where Xbox, you know, were doing their thing when they felt like they were also like in the competition, so to speak. I miss those days. But I imagine if Xbox had like a solid like open world superhero game. It doesn't necessarily have to be Superman or anything like that, but what if they had like a Green Arrow game? That'd be pretty dope.
This close. Because you know they were this close to buying WB Games.
Yeah.
They were this close, and we would have had that, but for those of you that don't know, I'm a diehard Xbox fan, so yeah, I'm more Xbox fan than Nintendo and PlayStation. So,
yeah. Also, this is your topic now.
My topic, because I know a lot of people. I guess it's Lamb Blasted. I think that's what I'm trying to say. But they blasted Redfall. I haven't played it yet, but I watched it. I see where some people had some issues with it, but I also think it's still not as bad as people are making it out to be. But that's the nature of the beast, so they say. But
let me ask you then: are you going to play Redfall?
Yeah, I'm going to eventually play it. I'm just behind. I'm so behind on game. And then I was like, I'll play it next month. I'm like, no, Final Fantasy 16 comes out. I'm going to put all my time. I'm just letting you know right now. I'll probably jump on AEW Fight Forever just to try it out. But Final Fantasy 16, unless I can beat it in like 7 days, which could happen. But I'm like, Final Fantasy 16 is going to get all my time, because that's just the game that the series I've always loved. But I do plan on playing Redfall. I just think sometimes Xbox doesn't get fair press. I know a lot of people were saying that, you know, Xbox shouldn't buy Activision Blizzard because all they do is buy their studios. Then PlayStation announced they bought Bungie. Nobody said anything. Nobody complained about it. And I'm just sitting here like, same thing. Like, I know it's not the same scale.
No, for sure not.
It's like PlayStation has to, I'm just going to be completely honest, and Phil Spencer actually spoke on it too. He said PlayStation has to market a lot. We're never going to beat PlayStation.
Oh, you're talking about like the way he was on the like Kinda Funny's XCast. That interview.
And he's right. Xbox lost the worst generation, which was the digital. Because think about it. If I only had one console, let's say I didn't have a Nintendo Switch, I didn't have a PS5, right? I only had one console, and PlayStation came out with a game, and I'm like, I want that game, but I have 1,000 games on Xbox. I'm not switching over to PlayStation. Why would I switch to PlayStation and lose 1,000 digital games that I own?
Here's the thing though. Like, I think we live in an era now. It's just like where more than like for gamers, like core gamers, they own more than one console. You know, like I do think you're right. If you do own one console, that you know, that case study is absolutely correct. Like, you're probably not going to spend your time like recycling or like getting rid of like a whole digital library just to join a new ecosystem. But on the other hand, I'm like, I think you can make a good case for being, and there's nothing wrong with being the second console in the house. You know what I mean? No. Like, it's like,
Nintendo loves it.
exactly. I'm like, I'm gonna be real with you. There's some people who play the Nintendo Switch, but like, there are probably a lot of people who did not play the Nintendo Switch very much until Tears of the Kingdom came out. Like, you know, like,
why you calling me out? You're speaking a little too loud, man.
I was actually talking about me though. This is the crazy thing.
I got my Switch right here. I don't even know if it's on.
Thank you.
It's not even. Oh, it is on. I have not. When is the last time I played? Oh, Pokemon.
Scarlet and Violet.
Pokemon came out. Violet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the last time I played this thing.
Boy, that thing ran like cold syrup at IHOP.
That's the last time. Yeah, Xenoblade came out before Pokemon Violet. So yeah, Pokemon Violet, the last time I played the Switch, it just been sitting on the dock. And I have the OG Switch, not the OLED.
I'm same with you. I'm not buying another Switch just because it's got a better screen on it.
Right, and just to sit in the dock forever.
Exactly. Like I'm right there with you, man. You're preaching to the choir, but like you are like you spitting game right now. I have a Switch. Like if I don't get a review code for a game on my Switch, though, I'm not touching that thing. Like because I'm like, much. Yeah, it's like I.
And it's sus. Yeah, it's man, sus.
It's one of those things to where like. It's hard for me to want to play a game when that same game is available on a better platform, what I consider a better platform that has ray tracing, SSD load times and everything like that. And then also it's not in 1080p or 720. Like I can actually see something in 4K, you know, like it's just hard. It really is. And the crazy thing is like, I'd be a Nintendo gamer again if you released another console. Like if you just give me another console to buy, because God knows I'm like I just want to own every console for some reason. Like
Super Smash Brothers in 4K.
Oh man,
I would have to buy the console. Have Super Smash to. Brothers in 4K. I remember what was it? A gamer by the name of King Gathalion. I don't know if you know who he is. But he's on Twitch and everything. He played. He owns the game. So let me give the disclaimer.
Yeah, first. For sure.
He owns the game. He has the Switch. He bought Breath of the Wild, and he bought Tears of the Kingdom. But he's running it on an emulator on PC where it has the 4K, the 60 frames per second, and it looks beautiful. And I'm like, just drop the console. Y'all have this. Sure. If the emulators can do it, I know the developers can do it. So just drop the console and look, still have the basics. Let's say hypothetically this is $300 and then you drop the 4K version, which is $500. People will still buy it.
Oh yeah, for sure. You're right on the money. Like I think you should just you can do a Switch 2 or maybe just do a Super Nintendo like a Super Nintendo style to where like it's a console instead of it being like a portable kind of thing. But yep. Like the same game can run on the Switch, like where you can have your cake and eat it too. Like I would love to see that. Love to see that.
You think you're making me sad because they don't have it?
Exactly. And I think that's crazy to me. But you know, like we were talking about with Xbox, though, like because this is a very interesting conversation. Like Xbox is in a position right now to where like it. You know, I don't want to be too hard on them because, like, everybody goes through, like, their troubled times. Like, everyone has their highs, everyone has their lows. But, like, PS3. This feel... Yeah, for sure. And I'm like, the PS3 had this lows until it didn't, you know? Like, until, like, The Last of Us at the very end of the generation came out. Right, and, right. Like, everybody was just like, oh, they got the games now. Like, but... Let's be honest though, like it's been a really rough time being an Xbox gamer because I too have like I have a Series S and a Series X. Like
I've got every console.
I got when you were talking like you sent me a message like before we started where you were like I'm coming down from downstairs like I have a game room upstairs and a game and I have also a console in the living room. It's just like one of those things to where like. I'm an Xbox gamer. I'm in part of this ecosystem too. It's just like, I just wish that we'd do better. Like, yeah. Like just do a I little better. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also looking at like everything that Xbox is doing right now with its like with the first party lineup. And I think they're killing it with racing games, but everything that's not racing has been you know?
Yeah. So I don't want to attack anyone. Okay. Yeah, I want to make this clear. But it all started with Don Matrick.
Oh, really?
Don Matrick, which if you say that word, sometimes it's like a cuss word to Xbox fans. Because Don Matrick is the guy that basically screwed up the Xbox One. When the That was when they wanted to, they said, we want to make it an entertainment system and we want to have this and this, which I got the vision, but the way it was executed, they ignored games.
Yeah.
And that's what killed them. Like they, and Xbox still doesn't do this to this day. They still don't try to secure exclusive first party games like PlayStation does. Like PlayStation, literally Final Fantasy 16 only coming out on PlayStation. Like not even PC, which I was hoping it would come to PC. Not even come to PC. Xbox doesn't do that for whatever reason, or they don't do it as much as PlayStation. No, no. And Don Matrick is one of the people that kind of sort of made Xbox hit his low. He closed game studios. He did a lot. So Phil Spencer is now building back up what Xbox used to have. So now they have, obviously they have Bethesda, well, I should say ZeniMax, because that's Bethesda and a bunch of other companies. Mm-hmm. They're now about to get Activision, Blizzard, and King and all that. So they are getting back to that point where they have all these developers. And Phil Spencer said it on the podcast as well. They're getting back to the point where they're releasing a AAA game every quarter. But I also think what hurts, I don't think it hurts Xbox because I like the fact they do this, but they're not also just focused on one genre of game. Like PlayStation, you know, you'll get great story games.
I love it.
But for the most part, like that's their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. Xbox, like, no, you may get a racing game here. You may get an RPG game. You may get this story game. You may get this platformer, or you may get this fighting game. Like they never niche down, so to speak. And I think the industry has kind of gone more towards story games than it used to be. Because it used to be like, I think the industry used to be ran by fighting games. Everybody used to have Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat,
Soul Calibur,
Tekken. Yeah, Soul Calibur, which I beat my wife in, by the way. She doesn't like, I like that part. But like that's the games we used to have. But now it's kind of like story games are the bread and butter. And that's where Xbox is coming up short. Even though I think Gears of War was fantastic and Halo was fantastic as well, they don't have a lot of those story games. But I think hopefully within the next few years, we get the new Fable, and it has that cinematic story game like you expect from PlayStation and things like that. So it has been rough, but I do have faith that they'll turn around. I mean, you have, I don't know how many studios they have now, but like
too many to be putting out games like this, like,
right. And that's the other part, like people, if they expected the studios to be bought and games come out the next year, well, games take like 3-4 years to come out. This is about the time that the game should be coming out from these studios. And they even came out with a study that said games take 10 years $1 billion to make. And I'm like, wait, what? So, like, that's why we haven't seen a GTA 6 yet, which, honestly, let's be honest, they're just milking GTA 5. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking, too. I was just like, they're just going to milk that until the cow comes home. The cow is going to die before they put that out.
GTA 5 came out on PS3, Xbox 360.
Was it 2013?
Yeah, it came out from the PS3 generation and Xbox One generation. It's been past time for a new GTA.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, I think Xbox is going to turn it around. And the good thing about being able to own all the consoles, let's say hypothetically, they never turn it around ever. I don't believe that. So Phil Spencer, if you're listening, I don't believe that. I'm just saying that. But if they never, ever, ever turn it around, I still own a PlayStation 5. I still have a PC and I own a Switch. So I've been one of the blessed ones to be able to own every console. Because I know there's families out there that wish they could give their kids every console, but unfortunately you can't. Don't feel bad about that, by the way. If you're looking for a Switch, go to a pawn shop.
Yeah, or Facebook Marketplace is a good place as well. Like, people are always selling used consoles on that thing. So I'm like, yeah, like, you don't necessarily have to buy new in order to get, like, good experiences in gaming nowadays, for sure. Like, I do want to touch on something you said, because, like, for one, whenever this episode does drop, you're going to have to show your wife this so she knows she's been publicly called out for losing it in Soul Calibur.
I'll put it on her computer, but put it on mute. It's fine.
Okay, gotcha. I gotcha. So the thing I want to broach on, though, is, like, you know, it's crazy because, like, in the Xbox 360 era, I would probably say that was the generation of shooters. Like, that was almost the genre that really helped Xbox really take over and almost like dominate the first half, at least that first, like, I'd probably say the majority of that generation was because of the, like,
90% of it.
Yeah. Because of the way they approached the shooter landscape. They, you know, like, they had everything on lock with, like, Gears of War, Halo, Call of Duty, and everything. And Borderlands, you know, like, it's crazy because when I think of Borderlands, like OG Borderlands, I think of Xbox first. And I know that might not be a real thing, but that's kind of the way I associate that generation of video games. Right. But, you know, like, so this then we moved with the Fortnites and the Apexes. We still stayed strong with like the shooter landscape, but it's like now you kind of mentioned like the single player narrative based games, and that's Sony's bag and butter. Like it's crazy that like that is what they're known for, but like I don't know if you heard the news, but like Sony's pivoting for a lot of their studios to go like with the games as a service model, and that's why they bought Bungie, to help with their multiplayer landscape. Right. Do you think that's a good idea, or do you feel like, hey, if you're winning a generation, stay with what you know and continue that momentum? Like, do you rebuild in sports? You don't rebuild a franchise while you're still winning championships, you know?
Right. I think, and this is the other part that a lot of people don't think about when it comes to Sony. Mm-hmm. Sony's money maker, if I'm not mistaken, I could be slightly wrong, but it's PlayStation. That's their money maker. They're not winning the TV market. They're starting to win the camera market. Yeah. I don't know if it makes them enough money, because a lot of people still get Nikon, Canon, and Panasonic, and all those other brands, right? So PlayStation is kind of their moneymaker. So they're looking at it like, okay, yeah, y'all made us this much money. Yeah, we're number one. Because you got to also remember they sell each console at a loss as mm-hmm. well. So they're looking at it like, okay, yeah, we've been killing it with story games, but we need to get some more of these microtransactions. Let's be honest. Every company wants even if you right now, I guarantee you, if you could sell a microtransaction for like a dollar and a million people buy it, you do it.
Yeah, I hate microtransactions, but you're on point there. I probably get my million real quick.
Right. And so they're looking at like okay, we need to pump more money into Sony right now, because I think probably PlayStation in the movie division, because of Spider-Man. Those are their two money making. I forgot about Spider-Man, the movie division. So other than that, they really don't make money off anything else. So they're looking like, okay, we got to get more money. But is it a smart idea? They have to teeter totter a certain line. There's a fine line to where it's like, okay, we see you trying to expand your revenue. Yeah, we'll support that too. Okay, you just trying to jip us out of a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened with a lot of these free-to-play games. They come out, people are like, oh my God, this game is so amazing. Then 10 hours later, they're like, yeah, don't play this game, because all it is a microtransaction. It's a, what do you call it? When they looking for whales, where people spend a bunch of money on that one game.
Yeah, for sure, I can't remember the technical term off the top of my head, but I get what you're saying, though. It's almost like the gotcha machine, so to speak, where like people just dump in like $100,000 into FIFA or NBA 2K every year, you know?
Don't get me started on that. I hate, and it's nothing against, I get why they do it, because it makes them a bunch of money.
Yeah.
But I hate the my teams in NBA, FIFA, NHL, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Even WWE 2K is now doing it. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't want none of that. Then they try to push it on you. It's like, yo, you, ever since I got the game, you know, only play the universe mode, or only play the my NBA. You know what I'm playing.
Yeah.
Why do you keep pushing to my team on me? I'm not playing that. I refuse to put money into it, because, like, even what I'll never forget, NBA 2K something. It was like, let's say 18, probably 18. I bought all those VC for the my park player and all that. I said, all right, cool. It's fine. I at least get half of that for the next one, right?
Nope.
And start all the way over. And I said, I'll never play my park. I've never touched my park
ever again.
Yeah, I put like a good $200-$300 on this. I paid $55, then paid $200-$300 for the my part, because I just wanted my players just to be good or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have, at that time, I wasn't a content creator. I didn't have the time to grind up to a 99 and all that. Mm-hmm. And when I lost it all for the next game, I was just like, you know what? Never again. I have not. If I don't do my team, my player, or my player, or even my park,
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. Like I play like a lot of those sports centric games, and I jump on to like the create where you manage your franchise mode. Like I jump whatever term you want to call that, because different games have different terms for it. I jump into that mode, and then I jump into the exhibition, and then like. On certain games, I will play like the single player, like campaign or story mode, depending on what game it is. Like WWE My Rise, where you're playing as like the male side of the things, or a female, and you have the exact story that you're playing out. I'll play that. But like like you're saying with NBA, I'm not gonna dump money into that sort of thing, because I'm like, you're making it an MMO where I have to pay like. A stupid amount of money to be able to be good at that game.
Right. And then there's people like, just grind it up, bro. And I'm like, y'all got time.
Yeah, okay. for sure. Yeah.
And a lot of people that say grind, they're actually paying for it. Yeah. But okay.
Yeah. And then by the time like I get to a point where I'm decent at the game and grind it up and such like that, the next game is out. You know, like,
right.
The next game is out. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous at this point. But it's like, I get it, but and that's where you have to teeter totter that line, because I don't know if you noticed, NBA 2K23 has done horrible,
like financially.
Not as far as people still playing it, still talking about it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like when you go to Twitch, I went to Twitch and looked it up one time. It didn't even have 1,000 viewers one time. I was like,
wow,
2K, like. NBA 2K, like it was weird, man. But that's because people are fed up with the microtransaction. They're fed up with the changes to my part, making it harder. Like, and I get that they want people to keep playing the game, but it's also you have to stay on that fine line. So I think PlayStation doing more live service game isn't bad, but you do have to stay on that fine line of, okay, you don't want to go too far into that. We're just trying to make money territory, which I'm hoping that's not where Jim Ryan is planning to go.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
I hope it's not as well, because like I, you know, like you said, like you're primarily an Xbox gamer. I'm primarily like I lean back and forth between my Xbox and my PlayStation. But like I, if I'm being honest, like I look forward to my PlayStation big blockbuster games a lot more than any other game in the world. Like. If PlayStation, and as of this recording, I think they're doing like a PlayStation showcase next week. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, like if they come out and they basically say like, hey, we're going to drop bombs on y'all. We're dropping like, hey, we got Spider-Man coming out this year. We're dropping Ghost of Tsushima 2. We are now announcing Horizon Forbidden West, Horizon 3. We're announcing like Bloodborne Remastered or Bloodborne Remake. Like, that's going to be enough to where I'm like, okay, like y'all did the thing. Like y'all did the damn thing. Right. Y'all got this generation in the bag as far as I'm concerned. And then like, and that's not even including like whatever like Blue Point Studios is working on. That's not including whatever
Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly. What if
I'm Naughty... so mad Wolverine is only going to be on PlayStation. Like...
Oh, I bet Xbox gamers are sick. Sick. I'm talking about.
And my thing, I wish I get that it's a PlayStation game. I totally get it. I just wish they would also drop it on PC at the same time.
I think that's a lot of people's goal there.
Yeah, I get it. Like, you don't want to drop it on Xbox. Okay, totally fine. I get it. That's understandable. I 100% agree with you. Every console needs their exclusive. Like, you'll never see Super Mario on Xbox. Like, it's just not going to happen. But can we get it on PC? I like Wolverine with the mods. Oh my goodness, that would be insane. But I may have to wait like a year before it happens. So
now, like, the crazy thing is, I think like they posted a news story, what was it, day before yesterday, where like they said it's going to be a two to three year window for PC games to come, like for them to port over a PC release of a game. And I'm like, that is insane, right?
That's
2 to 3 years.
That's very silly.
Yeah. Minimum, like, that's not even like, hey, like, you know, it's coming. That's like, hey, 2 to 3 years and we might make it happen, you know.
And then by that time, you'll be too far behind to even play the game. So, like, let's say Wolverine comes out this year and it dropped on PC 2026, Wolverine 2 will be out by then.
Exactly, exactly. Then
they call it Wolverine Remastered. That's right.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what the goal is for them, is like they use the PC port almost like a additional commercial, so to speak, or like, hey, like, yeah, this is why you should get on our new console. This is because, like, you'll get it on PC eventually, but like, we want to remind you that, you know, like, if you want the newer experience, to go, come on, drop all that money on the PS5, you know?
I feel like they're missing out on a very big money market doing that.
They probably are. But they, you know, like, the crazy thing is like, they're missing out on a money market, but they're probably keeping the whatever IP is in, like, in the conversation if they do it well. Like, it's like, you remember The Last of Us came out like a while back ago, like, for PC, and it was just like a horrible port. Like, it really was.
I heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah. People were very much up in arms about, like, how dirty that port was. So that to me is like, I kind of understand it from a marketing perspective of like, you keep whatever, like, IP it is, you keep that, like, on people's lips, like, you keep it in people's thoughts. And then when you have a show, when you have a movie, when you have, like, additional game, like, you can just pop that in and it's almost like a commercial for it. I understand that from a marketing perspective. From a gamer's perspective, though, like, I'm not even a PC gamer like that. Y'all get done dirty on the PC side of things by PlayStation.
And I think that's kind of why Xbox, to me, had the better strategy long term. Because they're like, look, yeah, we're not going to beat PlayStation in the console market, but we're going to beat them in the other markets, which they literally, Game Pass, PC Game Pass is killing it. They're adding a bunch of games to it. Like, I like the fact that Starfield's coming out on Xbox and PC.
Yeah.
And Redfall came out on Xbox and PC. Because remember, it used to be just, yeah, Starfield's on Xbox. Not going to worry about PC. PC games, like, well, that sucks. We want to play it. Why we got to get it? So I like the fact that they're even, I think they're going to bring Game Pass to the Switch. That seemed to be in the works. That's how they're going to get Activision to run on.
I can see it. Yeah.
Call of Duty going on a Switch. So
if they how they're going to manage to put a game as big as Call of Duty on a Switch, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That cloud game is going to have to kick in for real.
It really is. Because I was like, you know, like, Call of Duty games keep getting bigger and bigger. Like, I think the latest one was like, what, almost 150 gigs?
Yeah, it's 153, because I just looked at it the other day because I had to clear up some space.
That's insane, ain't it?
It's better than the other one, because the other one was 200, 300 gigs.
That's
the
insane.
The one right before it, and I'm like, mm-mm.
And then you also have, like, games like, you know, Star Wars recently was a meaty, like, 150, 160 gigs. Like,
yeah.
That, like, you know, like, I like Switch, but not enough to want to, like, I don't want a dumbed down version of a game, and if it's a cloud version at that point, like, why would you just, like, you can play it on Steam Deck at that point, like, you can play it on a cloud device.
Yeah, it's more powerful device. Yeah, yeah. I hate to say this, but sometimes even the phone is more
powerful than your Switch. Yeah,
and I'm like, and that's where Nintendo and it drives me crazy, because it's like, Nintendo, you had the bag. You were number one. You were crushing everybody. And you decided, because you wanted to keep the console family friendly, and that's what made me mad. They're like, yeah, we don't trust y'all to make the right decision, so we're going to keep it family friendly. And of course, they kind of abandoned that now.
Yeah.
But I remember they was like, yeah, we don't want any shooting games on our console. We don't want any of that. I'm like, why not?
Telling you. I mean, and obviously you broke your own rule. You eventually put Splatoon on the console, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds like you don't want any shooting games unless it's your shooting game, you know?
Right. They're talking about some games were too gory and all that. I'm like,
I get it. Right, video game. Come on, man. Yeah, it's a video game. Come on, man. But
yeah.
You know, so I want to ask you, like, what are you playing right now?
What am I playing right now? Star Wars, Jedi Survivor.
Okay.
Minecraft, Apex Legends. And that's probably it. Like I said, I may get that Diablo 3. I may get it today and play it. I'm not sure because I know Street Fighter 6 beta is out. And I'm like, I need to at least play it. Like, have some opinion on it. You know, people are going to ask about it. But yeah, those are basically my main games right now.
That sounds fun. I'm you know, Star Wars Jedi Survivor is one. I'm a chicken as a person. Like, I do not like horror centric things, but I'm
finally like, somebody yeah. with me. No, my community says you need to play like Layers of Fear and no. all those. No, I'm good.
No, I don't do demons, man. Exactly. We don't vibe with that. Like, let's be honest. We don't vibe with that. I don't even watch horror movies, if I'm being rude with you, man. Like, I'm a chicken like that.
Okay. See, now I watch a horror movie. Like, I just watched Nope for the first time last night.
Do we count, like, Jordan Peele movies as horror movies, though? The kind of
psychological horror.
Yeah. Okay.
Could just, like... It's to the point where you're like, yo, this could really happen in real life.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a Nope could happen in real life for real. And you're like, how do you deal with it?
You for real. Or like, you know, like a Get Out situation or stuff like that. Like Jordan Peele movies I can watch, but I almost don't consider them horror movies. It's like that's how I rationalize it in my head at least. But like
You couldn't watch like Jason or Freddy.
Nah, I'm out there.
Okay, see, I'm not that. I can watch that.
Okay, gotcha.
You're braver than me. For the chicken.
You're braver than me then. But like, the reason I brought this up is because like I like being a part of the game of the year discussion. Like, I want to make sure that I play all the hottest games that are probably going at the end of the year going to be in the game of the year conversation. And Resident RE4 is like. A lot of people are talking about that game, and a lot of people are talking about like it, like, hey, like, it's not Tears of the Kingdom right now is probably like number one as far as like the game of the year right now. But like before Tears of the Kingdom, a lot of people were talking about RE4, and I'm like, okay, I need to check out this chosen one and see if it's really hot, you know, like, but I'm again a chicken. So I'm like, how do I exactly, I don't know how to go about doing this. So I think I'm going to play RE4 a little bit. See how scary it is. If it really is the fear factor situation gets a little intense, I'm probably going to drop off, but I'm going to try that out.
It's intense, man.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's not as bad. It's not as bad as like Layers of Fear or The Evil Within and things like that. They have a lot of jump scares though. They do. Okay. Like I said, I'll troll people. Like, I normally make gifs of gamers. So like, if they do a jump scare, like, they do that. I'll like make a gif of it. And yeah, Resident Evil 4 gave me some wonderful gifs. They still mad at me about it, but it's fine. It's fine. You may have some nightmares because there's one part early on in the game where it
gets you.
Yeah, it gets you because it got me. So, but I'm also like chicken to the point where I don't even play like Dead by Daylight. I don't know if you.
No, I'm not playing that.
Yeah, and it's not like the game scary. It's just being chased by the killer freaks me out. Like, so.
Nah, I'm not about that life. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not about that life. In life, you got to know who you are as a person. And I just know I'm a chicken, like Courage the Cowardly Dog kind of chicken. And I'm not gonna be able to do that one. But I want to, you know,
courage, man. Not courage. You can't be courage, man. Like, courage is scared of everybody.
Everything. Courage. Mario. Yeah. Man, shout out to Courage the Cowardly Dog. That's so funny. So I want to ask you a question. Like, okay, so, you know, being an Xbox gamer has been a little ups and downs here or there, but like, what has been your favorite Xbox experience over the last couple of years? Like, this doesn't necessarily have to be the first party games, but what has been your favorite undisputed Xbox game that you played in the last couple of years?
So it had to be a game or just complete experience?
I was leaning towards game, but I'm curious if you have an experience outside of gaming that is okay. Qualify.
Let's see, Xbox game will probably be State of Decay 2. Because I did get a chance to play with my homie, and it was when I started my era, so to speak, or I ended my era of not defeating games. Okay. Like, I would start playing games and then I wouldn't defeat them. I would never beat them. I kind of get, like, even Final Fantasy 15, it took me, I got to the last part of Final Fantasy 15, but because I knew what was going to happen at the end, I waited almost a year to beat it. And my homies were just getting on me, like, man, you need to beat the game. I'm like, nah, bro, I ain't beating the game. I know what happened. I don't like what happened. So, but State of Decay 2 definitely helped me start beating games. I was like, okay, you know what? You pay all this money for the game, just going to beat them. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Outside of gaming, one of the, and I have this, like, I'm looking at it right now, it's printed on my wall. When was that? That was 2022. Aaron Greenberg, who's with Xbox, he actually followed me on Twitter.
What? That's so dope.
Yeah, man. And he was following Black content creators for Black History Month. You know, a lot of people do that as performative stuff, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna follow you, show the Black people some love. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But he actually he interacts with some of my tweets. He even retweets some of my tweets. And I was going to PAX West last year. Yeah, last year. Going to PAX West. And I said, it's in Seattle. Microsoft is in Seattle. I wonder if I could reach out to him. And I said, nah, I ain't gonna do it. And my friend's like, look, just go on and do it.
If he says
no,
man.
Yeah. So I reached out to him, and a week goes by, he didn't respond. I'm like, okay, so it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like, right after I said that, he responded.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he was like, yeah, man, I love to, you know, link up with you. Let me see what we can do to make it happen. I got to tour the Halo Museum.
Oh, that's so cool.
Got to meet Aaron Greenberg, actually have a real conversation with him, and Then he was so nice that he took us to the Microsoft campus.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
So we're walking the Microsoft campus, and we're seeing the Microsoft Museum, where they should have the first ever PC built and all that kind of stuff, or Microsoft PC, that is. And so that was literally my greatest Xbox experience over the past few years. Because State of Decay 2 is the main thing that comes to mind. Just getting a chance to beat that. Even I could say Gears 5 and all that, but I just remember having that multiplayer experience with State of Decay 2. My homie, he's a diehard zombie fan, so he comes in, well, you need to beat him, and I help you beat it. So we finally beat it. So those would be the main two things that come to mind when it comes to Xbox. Like, it was a lot of fun walking to Microsoft campus, having a conversation with Aaron Greenberg and things like that. I actually need to reach out to him about something else, but I've been kind of chicken like you right now.
Courage the Cowardly Dog chicken.
Yeah, very, probably worse than Courage the Cowardly Dog. He at least saved people. But oh my goodness. Yeah, but yeah, that would be my, those two would be my favorite Xbox experiences that I can think of off the top of my head.
That's some dope ones. There's some really cool ones. You know, like, I know we're running a little low on time, but before we go, I got a couple of questions to ask you. And the main question is, are you ready? Because it is time for our portion of the show called the Pro Nerd Trivia portion. And, you know, I should have prepped you on this. I should have gave you some prep time on this. But I decided I wanted to go in a little fresh because I wanted to see your reaction here. So here's how this works. The Pro Nerd Trivia portion of the show goes as follows. We have five questions that we like to ask our esteemed guests. And if the guest gets all five questions correct, he goes into our Pro Nerd Hall of Fame. So no multiple choice, no lifelines. This isn't Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But, like, you get five questions based on five different areas of nerdy expertise. Right now, I've we're getting close to 175 episodes. We've had several, like, lots of guests on this show. Let's just put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've only had one person in the Hall of Fame. But I have something.
Probably about to stay one.
No, I'm probably about to stay one.
We're gonna see.
The crazy thing is, it's like, I believe in you. I think we're gonna hit. You're gonna be the two, and then you're gonna be the second one. Here we go. Let's make it happen, Kev. All right. So, on our, I have right here on my screen over here the Wheel of Destiny. Whatever the wheel lands on is our category for that, for this particular episode. So here we go. The wheel.
Pick all the hard ones.
The crazy thing is, like, you know, it's whatever the wheel lands on. The wheel has landed on Batman. Batman trivia. So yeah, I feel good about this. All right, so. You don't. I love how you melt. I don't. All right. So. All right. How many times has the actor George Clooney played Batman?
I know at least once. Let me think. I want to say once. I don't remember him playing. Oh, but are you talking about video games too? No, I don't think he played video games because the Batman voice actor did pass away. RP to him. I feel like once, but I'm leaning between one or two. I don't know which one.
Okay.
I can't miss the first question, man. Can I Google? I'm gonna say once.
Okay. That answer is correct. He only played Batman one time, and that was in the movie Batman and Robin in 1997.
That's why he played it once. Batman and Robin was not good.
That was not good at all.
I enjoyed it, but
did you really? Know,
yeah, I enjoyed all the Batman movies. Every single one that came out from Batman 1. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what year it came out, but all the way to what was the last one?
The Batman with Robert Pattinson.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I watched that today. Oh,
yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
If you got HBO Max, it's on there right now.
I own it. We're not going to talk about it. But
yeah, all right. All right. So here is my next question. The next question has landed on pro wrestling.
Okay. I feel a little confident on this one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pro wrestling.
That's a very wide topic. Okay.
It is very wide. I mean, yeah, that is. All right.
Got me nervous, man.
Yeah. All right. There is a wrestler by the name of Charles Wright. He happened to play characters known as Papa Shunga. And he's also played different characters throughout the years. One character he played in the 1990s in the Attitude Era was different than Papa Shunga. What was the name of that character?
Oh,
yeah.
The Godfather.
The whole train.
Yeah. Oh, if I start doing this, I'll do that one.
Yeah, okay. You do that one. I like that.
Whew.
I like that one. So you're 2 for 2.
And you stopped right there. You would have got me because you said Charles White. Uh-huh. And I automatically thought Big Show, but it's Paul White.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would have got me, but you kept going. I was like, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad the question helped you out there. So, all right. So our next category is in the realm of the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay. Okay. Right. You know a little bit. Okay.
You know a little bit. I like that. All right. Which MCU character makes their MCU debut in Thor Ragnarok as, you know, played by Tessa Thompson?
Thor Ragnarok. Played by, I don't know her name. She rides the horse.
She does ride a horse. She does ride a horse.
I want to say her name is Valkyrie, but I'm not sure.
Valkyrie is the correct answer.
Oh,
snap. Yeah. Valkyrie is the correct answer.
Let's go. That was a guess.
That really was. That was a deep pull, and I like that.
I was going to say it was the one that came in with the head wrap, and I was like, no, she's actually the good person. So
you think it was Hela at first.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, no, she did. That's not her. Yeah, yeah. Whew. Okay, right. Okay. Wow, I got three.
So you get three.
I'm a nerd. I'm a
yeah,
nerd.
You're doing it. You're doing it.
All right, so, let me stop because we got two more.
No, you're doing good. All right. So The next category has landed on Harry Potter.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay.
In book four, aka book four, movie four, which two teams competed for the Quidditch World Cup?
So I'm gonna be honest, I don't know the team name. I know Harry Potter was on one, and Draco Malfoy was on the other one. I do not know the team names. That one you got me on.
The crazy thing is, like, the World Cup, the World Cup is at the beginning. Okay, so at the beginning of the movie, there were two, like, Harry and the Weasleys. You know, the Weasleys get invited to the World Cup, and mm-hmm. they go on an excursion. They stay in a little tent, and they're going to see like the World Cup being played that next day. Well, on the World Cup, there's a character named Victor Krum, who was the seeker on one team, and then like on the other team, it was like they're another national team. Victor Krum would later go on into the Triwizard Tournament, and he'd be competing against Harry in the Triwizard Tournament. But Harry and Draco weren't on the World Cup teams. Like, those were the house teams. Like, the house teams were actually good to Hogwarts. Yeah, it's a deep cut. It is a deep cut. So the answer is Bulgaria and Ireland were like the two teams that played in the World Cup during that time frame. Yeah, that was, it is a deep cut.
You said Harry Potter. I was like, okay, you know, I watched all the Harry Potters. I'm good. Mm-hmm. You said Quidditch. So I was like, nope.
I'm out. All right.
I got the four. I still want to do five. I want to see if I can get four out of five.
We're continuing to go. Let's see. All right, goodness. Here we go. The next category is in the realm of Nintendo.
Okay.
All right. What was the name of the console, video game console, in between the Wii and the Nintendo Switch?
Oh, the one that everybody was mad about, the Wii U.
Yep, that's the correct answer. That is the correct answer. Yeah.
So you could have gave me an easy Harry Potter question. I would have had five, but
no. Yeah.
My friend is still mad about the Wii U because the Breath of the Wild was supposed to come to the Wii U.
Oh, it does. It is on the Wii U.
So it is. Okay. But maybe not Breath of the Wild. It was another game, and they never put it on the Wii U, but they put it on the Switch. He still holds a grudge against mm-hmm. Nintendo today. But yeah. Wii U.
Yeah, the Wii U. So you got 4 out of 5. How do you feel? You did really good.
It's the Quidditch question. I that's the one thing. That's my true weakness in Harry Potter is Quidditch.
The crazy thing is, it's like, okay, so like, then like when I spin the wheel lands on a certain topic, and then it gives you like, it spins again within that certain topic, and then like, and it has like two questions that it's sort of like, you know how like in a pie it spins, it lands on a certain question within that topic. So like the like when it landed, it was on a hairline thread in between two topics, you know, like, and so like in between two questions. So your other question in Harry Potter was like, could have been very different. I don't necessarily know if this would have helped or not, but like, if you would have got this, but because this one to me is a deep cut as well, but like the other one was like, what is a spell that helps ward off a Dementor?
Expelliarmus? That's the only one I can think of.
Expelliarmus is the disarming spell. Yeah. This one would have been the Patronus charm.
Patronus!
Yeah.
Like, so I would have missed it either way.
Yeah. Like when he yells Expecto Patronum, and like that the stag comes out of his wand and such like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Harry freaking Potter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta say it what mouth was it? Harry Potter.
Yeah. With some spite in his name. So DDS, you did really good. It was you did really good. Before we go though, I have one last question for you, and that's, where can the good people find you?
Oh man, you can find me on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, MySpace, Black Planet, Black People Meet, Cupid. I'm just playing. But I have a website, DDS618.com. It has the links to all my social media, you know, Twitter, Twitch, and all that. So yeah, you can find me on there. I'm also a G Fuel ambassador, and I also have a new G Fuel that just came out. That hibiscus tea just dropped last week. So I gotta, I haven't opened it yet. So I gotta, I'm doing a video today where I open it, taste it. But yeah, you can find me all over there, all over those places. I live stream on Twitch normally Monday through Fridays, but I'm still Fridays is kind of like eh. Excuse me, I may take some Fridays off, but definitely Monday through Thursday. Excuse me, I'm trying to post a YouTube video at least once a week. So
All right.
That's where you can find me. Yeah.
All right. Everyone, the links to find him will be in the description of this episode. DDS, it was very nice having you. This has been a very fun conversation. I've really enjoyed having you on the show today.
Yeah, yeah. This has been a great conversation to the freaking Harry Potter question. I was good. I was like, I may get into this thing. But yeah, that's what happened. I started bragging the wheel tonight. I bet it's cool. It's cool.
Nah, it's all good. Next time you're gonna come strong. So for your information though, like on the Wheel of Destiny, you had like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, like James Bond, wrestling, Marvel, MCU, Batman, Star Trek, Star Wars. Like it's a deep dive into nerdy categories.
Okay, it actually gave me all the favorable questions. Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, Star Wars. Yeah, I'm like, all right, whatever. Yeah, Star Wars.
That's why people don't get to five. It's because there's some holes in that nerdy game, you know?
Right. Yeah. Had to get me on Harry Potter though. That's crazy. But it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox. Like there are also categories on there. So it dives deep into nerdy categories. But yeah, you did really good.
4 out of 5. I can't be mad at it.
Yeah, for sure. So before we go, it's been great having you on the show. We'd love to have you back. We've told people where you can find you. The only thing I'm gonna ask from you now is this is a podcast about video game recommendations. So what is the video game recommendation that you're gonna give to people today? What's one game you think people what's a game you think people should definitely check out?
I want to show love to the indie games because I don't think indie games get enough love. One game that's about to come out, I don't know when it's coming out. I know it's coming out soon. I can't remember the date, but it's called Alterium Shift.
Oh yeah, I saw that at PAX as well.
It's kind of like Octopath Traveler a little bit. So I highly recommend checking them out. I did an interview with the developer at PAX East, and very, very fun interview. He actually ended up giving me some trinkets, which I noticed somewhere in here.
Yeah,
there it is. He gave me, I haven't even opened it because I don't want to open it, but gave me the character and things like that. So yeah, I definitely say Alterium Shift is it's an indie game to check out. That's one of my recommendations. You're talking about a mainstream game, Final Fantasy.
Nah, it's all good. We like to give love to the indies on this show as well. So check out Alterium Shift. They are also a team that's deep in the heart of Texas as well. So definitely showing some love to the Texas boys over there as well. So DDS, it's been really fun having you on the show. I can't wait to have you back. Yeah, I can't wait to have you back, man. I love chopping it up with you. But everyone, thank you so much for listening. You can find this on all your favorite podcast platforms and on YouTube.com on the Pro Nerd Report YouTube channel. And you can check us out on the Pro Nerd Report Discord channel. You can talk to me there, ask me a question about the next episode of the show, and get all your news on the podcast and the YouTube channel. So definitely go check us out there. In the meanwhile, I've been Sebastian, that's been DDS, and we're out. Peace. Bye, everyone. So that's a wrap for today's show. I want to thank DDS618 for joining me on this episode today. I also want to let you know about the Single Player Experience Discord server. It's the perfect place for single player gamers to talk about the good single player games they've been playing lately and to get video game recommendations. Think of it kind of like a book club for single player gamers. The link to join will be in the description. Once you're in, feel free to share your video game backlog list, talk about the good games you've been playing, or give your feedback on the show. If you have a game that you think should be recommended or that you think I should talk about, let me know in the Single Player Experience Discord server. I'll see you there. Before we go, I just want to thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Stay safe, stay gaming, and I hope to catch you in the next one. Peace!